It's our national conference for the Vineyard out in California, and this, their theme of All In. It's been really intriguing, and the more I think of it, the more I look at it, the more I realize that there's just more to be discovered on what this whole All In thing looks like. And so today I'd just like to look at 2 points here for living with all in orders as we do. So on the back of the bulletin are the notes if you'd like to follow along. Just we've talked about before, the paratrooper steps out of the plane and instantly he's all in. His mission once on the ground exceeds his abilities, but not those of his squadron. He must execute his commanding officer's orders, believing those orders to be accurate and accomplishable. As all-in believers, we too must live, trusting that our kingdom-sized mission comes with those same parameters, that what God's given us is also accurate and accomplishable. So let's just look at these two passages, one out of Matthew chapter 28, at the end of his gospel record, as Matthew gives the story, he moves straight from the scene of the resurrection and that day and what happened, and then almost as a postscript, he adds on to the end these several verses here about making disciples. So I'm going to read again out of the message, so you may be have a difficult time following some of these, but familiar verses, Matthew 28, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. The 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Now, familiar verses, we call this the Great Commission. We're familiar with these words. But I really like when Peterson, in his translation, talks about those who held back from worshiping, and he interprets it as they were not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. In other words, not sure about being all in with this thing. That's really going over the edge if I really worship, if I recognize Jesus as my supreme command, my officer that I report to. Really making the rest of my life his in that kind of way. And so we refer to it as making disciples. That's how Jesus is translated in other versions. But it's marked a little differently here in the message. So the first thing I see about making disciples, which is part of our all-in order for all of us, is talk about Jesus and his way of life. Peterson says, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life. Well, training them, what does it mean? First of all, talking about Jesus and his way of life. If we're going to be all in, if we are all in, if that's what our decision is, then wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we're engaged in, whatever our level of responsibility is, we can see it as our mission that we've been given, our orders, our marching orders, to always be talking about Jesus and his way of life. Have you ever stepped back just to listen when you go into a room and there's a conversation going on, or some people start to meet and a conversation kicks up? What are the typical things we end up talking about? Well, depending on the group, of course, but it could be sports. That's a standard. Or if you're from Virginia, we could always be complaining about the weather. Or, you know, obviously, if you're not afraid of the dangers involved, somebody may bring up politics. And there are standard things that can kind of come up, and it depends on whoever starts talking first, where the conversation goes, right? I mean, the first person to say something, then somebody else joins in, and someone else joins in, and if there it's a homogenous group, then you know, there's harmony and everybody agrees together. If you have people on different sides of whatever fence, then you may have a little lack of harmony in the process. But our goal as we are all in believers, is to always be aware and thinking about, as we looked at a month ago at the end of July, we were sent home with this assignment that some of us remember to do throughout the week. This phrase that we repeat to each other, to ourselves: Christ lives in me. And, you know, reminding ourselves, Christ lives in me. This is August 2013. Christ lives in me. What difference does that make? How does that inform how I live? How does that make a difference in how I interact with people? Whether verbally or wherever I am, however, whatever is my attitude. And so we are to be thinking about, I'm all in. Jesus has given me this life. Without him, I would not have life. I would be lost in sin and bound for hell. He has given me new life, abundant life, a future with him. And so I can think about him, I can talk about him, and I can talk about his way of life. And that's always a good thing to be able to insert in many of the conversations. And it would be a relief to a lot of people, because some people follow the conversation. They don't start it, but they'll join in. And have you ever been surprised at yourself when a conversation gets negative, and the next thing you know, you find yourself being negative along with everybody else? It's so easy to fall into a gripe session. And it's hard to rise above and say, I'm not taking part in that, I'm going to do something different. So as we, in this one part of this order to make disciples, I just see that we can see it as a global thing, where it's, regardless of what, if we want to go back to the paratrooper who's in the military and he has a command that's over him, and while he's at work, while he is doing the mission that's been given to him, carrying out the orders that he's received, he has a commanding officer. But even in the military, he could still be someone who is married, with children, with community involvements, with other things. And so he's doing all of that, plus he's military. Well, if he's a believer, and he's a follower of Jesus, and he's an all-in believer, then as the role of husband and father and community person and military person, those things all become subsets of the fact that he is an all-in believer. Jesus is the one who calls the shots, really. It doesn't prevent him from doing these other things, but it helps him to know how to proceed. All of us as adults have been in situations where we've been forced to make fast decisions. We are presented with something, and all of a sudden we have to make a decision. What are we going to do? What's my response? How do I respond to this thing? And I think if we're in this mentality that I'm all in, Jesus is my life, Jesus is my source, it's so much easier to respond in a way that Jesus would respond. I mean, we've all seen these "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets and everything else that's out there with WWJD. And our Robbie Dawkins in the Vineyard Movement has written a book, and I think it's just his response to it. And he goes, do what Jesus did. Instead of what would Jesus do, just do what Jesus did. And that it's a book he's written, and I haven't read it yet, but I think I can tell where he's going in there. You know, just stop talking about it. Just do it already. So as making disciples, that's one of the first things we need to be doing, is so aware of Jesus' role in our lives, this life he's given us, that wherever we are in whatever circumstance, that guides us. That guides our responses, that guides our words, that guides the conversations we're in and not in. The second thing he recommends here is we would encourage baptism. As we're going about making disciples, one of the weird things we do, there are two strange rituals, I guess, we have as believers. One we'll celebrate here this morning in communion. But the other one that we've been encouraged to do is go into the waters of baptism. This signaling by going under the water, the end of the old life, and rising to newness of life, which Jesus has encouraged us to do, which Jesus showed us by example to do, having his cousin John the Baptist baptize him. So we're to encourage baptism at some point, to say, this is an important part. This is important to, I think, part of the all-in commitment, to say, you know, recognizing that we are going with Jesus in his burial, death and burial, and being risen to newness of life, that symbolism is still very powerful. And so it's one of the things that that we can encourage people in as we see them growing, as we see them coming into relationship with Jesus. One of the things to encourage them as a public display of this commitment, I'm all in now, is baptism. And so we don't have a baptismal tank around here, but I've got several pastors who've said that anytime we'd like, we can use their baptistry the pool or whatever they have available, or we have some rivers and that kind of thing that we've used in the past as well. So I think encouraging people in baptism is a part of also making disciples, to say it's not just one thing you do on a Sunday morning, you pray with somebody and then that takes care of it. The orders we have to live out are so much more than just a one-time prayer thing that's supposed to sustain us. And then the third thing, I think, is model truth as Jesus taught it. When it talks about instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you, when Jesus tells his disciples to go out and teach everything I've taught you. So I think one of the things that is really obvious in our day is that truth is so often a relative term. Well, that's your truth. Well, that's not my truth. And that's not the way I see it. And everything is relative. And we're in this real vague, hazy area where we don't want to be too dogmatic on things, because that makes us look more and more like Neanderthals. But truth is truth. And I think if we live according to the truth that Jesus taught us and just go with what he's taught us and not always be affected and infected maybe by the spirit of the age that says, oh, but that's so then. And, you know, we're today now, we're in 2013. Those things no longer apply. Well, until Jesus says that those things no longer apply, I think we need to hold to the truth as Jesus taught them. It's not going to make us popular, but I do believe that as we live them out, as we live our lives based on what Jesus has instructed us to live, and then Paul and Peter and others later on fleshed that out even more in their examples as the church was growing and people were coming in from all different backgrounds, they were explaining to them how they lived. They had different cultures with all kinds of different value systems and world vision, world views and whatever. And so as they came in, there needed to be some similarity in how people thought, how people taught. And so the instruction here that Jesus gives is, as you go making these disciples, people who have not known him won't be, maybe people not even from a Jewish background who have no idea what all of those things are about, model, as you live, model the truth as I've taught it to you. Just live out the things that I said were important, that I instructed you in. And you'll remember Paul as well, in his writings, he was bold enough to even say, which we often aren't, but he's bold enough to say, follow my example. As I follow Christ, follow me. Do what I'm doing. You know, he's aware that he's trying to live this out, live this lifestyle out in front of people. When I talked to our friend Jit, who will be our friend next month when he comes from the UK, he said, you know, he's had an opportunity to meet some people on the street when they've been out praying for people and whatever. But he said he's had people that he's known from years back when he was a Hindu. And they're surprised, like, what are you doing out here with the church? And so, I mean, once you get to know Jit, you'll see. When someone says, what are you doing out here with the church? Boy, that's such an opportunity for him to say, let me tell you. And he is so excited. But his family is Hindu, and he is a dynamic believer, and he is really excited. So he's living this life. He sees it now. God has given me all of this, and I want to live it out in front of people. And so he's actively making disciples. And I think regardless of where we are, whatever our backgrounds are, once we come into this relationship with Jesus and we recognize that these orders make us all in, then this is our job as well, to make disciples by talking about Jesus and his way of life wherever we go. Go everywhere gossiping the gospel, one version says. And I think that's a good idea, to encourage people in baptism to separate themselves out from the old life and say, this marks my new beginning in this new life, and then just living out truth as Jesus taught it. The second thing is, this word comes in with what we're doing this morning in communion. Out of Luke chapter 22, Jesus' words, "Remember me." When Jesus said, "Remember me," what was he talking about? Remember me, as if they were going to forget. And I think Jesus was saying, "Remember me as your prototype, as the example of what it's going to look like for men to live as Jesus followers, to look what it looks like for people to have a kingdom-sized mission, orders that they've received. Remember me as you do this." So let's read in Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. "When it was time, Jesus sat down, all the disciples with him, and said, 'You've no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God.' Taking the cup, he blessed it, then said, 'Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives.' Taking bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory.' He did the same with a cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant written in my blood, blood poured out for you.'" So as Jesus gave them this order to remember him as their prototype as they move forward, and these poor guys, obviously they needed something to follow because they were totally lost and totally clueless afterwards. They just couldn't figure it out, and they just didn't understand why Jesus was leaving and what are we going to do now. So Jesus says, "Remember me," as we will this morning, as we participate in this communion meal together. Three things Jesus, I think, when he's saying this, remember me as serving. Jesus laid down his life. He served us. He made a way in his serving us to give us new life. Satisfied the demands of the law in his death in order that we would have new life. And so he showed servanthood. He told his disciples, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom, you've got to be the servant of all. And so not only was he saying it, he was living it. He was the servant. He watched them. He gave to them. He provided for them. He taught them and loved them and encouraged them and spanked them and brought them back into fellowship again. And he watched over them and he served them. So that's part of that. The second thing, remember me as being obedient. Jesus was obedient to the Father's call. The Father had given him a mission. The mission required laying down his life. He was obedient to it. And I think that prayer in the garden, when Jesus is suffering in the agony and the fear as a man of what's about to happen to him, and he prays asking if there's any other way for this cup of suffering to be taken from me, any other way to accomplish your purposes, I would really like to do that. And I certainly can relate to those words, since not too into suffering and pain. And so when Jesus prayed those words, but not my will, I still want to be obedient to what you called me to, even if it means laying down my life in this painful, excruciating, humiliating way. And so Jesus says, remember me as you take this meal, that I was obedient to the very end. I never stopped. I always listened to the Father. I always listened. I always was asking for his advice, and often and many times saying things like, I can't do anything unless I hear the Father doing it, see the Father doing it, or speaking those words. I speak nothing on my own. And so he was very much in command, very much like someone in the military has received orders, and if they're going to be successful in this, they're not going to do their own thing. They're not going to reinterpret the orders because that didn't make any sense to me. I think I'll do it this way. They're in trouble really fast if they do things like that. There are ways of dealing with that kind of insubmission. And so Jesus wants to be remembered as serving, as being obedient, and then the third thing, as all in. Nobody could ever say that Jesus wasn't all in. He came, he gave up everything, he walked through, he dealt with all kinds of shame and rejection as his own people said, no, we don't want you, made up lies about him, plotted to kill him. Over and over and over again, Jesus dealt with that. And so as we come to the communion table this morning, as we finish up here this morning, remembering Jesus as serving us, as being obedient, as being all in, as he calls us to do. So he's not asking us to do something he didn't do. So we're in that place this morning where we are called to make disciples and walk out this commitment, this life that he's given us, and then we're also called to remember him. So as we walk through, not just on Sunday morning, it's one thing to do something on a Sunday morning and say, oh yes, we want to do this, and yes, we're going to be very religious and very pious, but I think his remembering means the 7 days of the week. And let's remember, let's be all in, let's recognize that what he's called us to is not just here. In some ways, this is a break from the role that we have throughout the week. We're all together here in one place. We more or less agree with one another. And so this is not where the challenge is. This is not where the working it out and the living it out happens. It's once we leave here, that's when the working it out and the living it out happens. That's where the challenges come from. So as we come to the table this morning, Jesus wants to be remembered as serving us, as being obedient, as being all in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these words this morning, for reminding us whose we are and what this role really is for us. What have you called us to? What are you asking of us? What constant thing is always there before us, regardless of what day it is, regardless of what other responsibilities are ours? We bless you for that, Father. We bless you for reminding us today. Could we sense this morning as we come to this table and we partake in this meal together that you've commanded us to do on a regular basis, and as we do it, to remember you. So we remember to follow you in this example that you set for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us and making this reality in our hearts this morning. Amen. So Father, thank you for sealing these words in our hearts this morning as we look to this new week in front of us. We ask that you give us conviction to be always making disciples and always remembering you in all of our circumstances. Could that be obvious to those around us? Fill us with your grace this morning. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to be always taking time to pray together, and this morning is Joanne's last Sunday with us, so it'll be really great to be able to pray with her as she heads out to new and exciting fields of endeavor with back with her family again. That's going to be great after these years in the military. So that's kind of a few people maybe to gather around Joanne and bless her as she heads off. And so do you get to go home this week? Is it already this week or Tuesday? All right, great. 48 hours, but who's counting? That's great. All right, well, God bless you as you go, and let's join around Joanne as she celebrates this last weekend in Virginia. God bless you as you go.